She's living with Donna Wall.
Yeah.
What I thought she moved out.
No.
Are you sure?
I think she's still there.
Okay, I'll ask her.
Yeah.
Sarah Puente, I think, has passed.
No.
No, she's still alive and keeping sure.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Socorro said that she even called to the nursing home and
said,
oh, my soul.
So, I was not aware of that either.
Praise the Lord. I thought the lady had passed on.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and the son had not notified us.
No. DeAndre Pierce?
Who is that?
That's Ron Wade's niece.
Oh, okay. And they changed churches a couple
they're
of times.
They're up in the center.
Good evening. Sorry for the late start. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Sitting at the Feet of Jesus.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Welcome those of us online and those of us that are here. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, wondrous words I hear him say. Happy place so near, so precious. Find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I reflect upon the past. For his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, is there anywhere more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrow, and when weary find his rest. And the feet of Jesus, there I worship and I pray. And while I from his fullness gather grace and comfort for today. Bless me, O my Father, bless me. All my inner life renew. Now look down in love upon me. Let me catch a glimpse thoughts of you. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy through his word. May I prove I've been with Jesus. With him my risen Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
After you.
again. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? 483 already. That's close. The Savior is waiting. 483. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again. To see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again. To see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Amen. Praise the Lord. And any others this evening? Number 11. All right. Come thou fount of every blessing. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place. And I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others? Y'all have a pick of him this evening? Or? Huh? You don't have one? All right.
All right, all right. Very good. Goodness, clear my throat here. Okay. Well, here we go. Anybody got a praise tonight? Praises. Oh, yeah. Best pop ever's got a praise. All right.
Okay. Yeah. First.
Ron Wade.
Praise. Ron Wade. All right. First one. Praise God. My son-in-law has got a full-time job now.
All right. What's his name?
John Hess.
John Hess. Where's he working?
Over by Jersey Village. That's right. He gets up and he's gone every day now.
It's a job and it's full-time.
Full-time.
All right.
Okay. And then praise the Lord. You and your wife are back home and
Amen.
Safely and
yep.
had a good trip.
Yeah.
No thunderstorms or anything?
We didn't see any rain.
We had about 40 inches while you were gone.
I mean, I'm telling you, it came down. It came down here, didn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Oh, my. Really? On Cherry Street?
Yeah.
Over there? Did they flood over there? Ooh. Wow. Now, we heard that a business in Old Town Tomball, the roof collapsed because of all the rain. Is that true? Okay. Was it the resale shop? Restaurant? Is it that far down? Oh, El Emperador. Oh, my goodness. Okay. The porch collapsed. Lawyers. So something at Smitty's collapsed. Is that what you're telling me? Okay. All right. Any other praises? Yes, ma'am.
I have a praise.
All right.
I got my blood work back, and
okay.
my A1C 3 months ago was 5.8, and it's 5.3.
Well, good for you. That's awesome. Amen, Miss Terry.
I was so excited today to get the amount that was donated for the pediatric pulse oximeters.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea that I would be able to... have that much money to use, and I had so much fun sitting there charting and ordering. Well, today,
Amen.
When I was ordering, I got a phone call. I was thinking, as I had a little bit left over, and I was thinking, I wonder if I have enough, because I knew they needed pediatric stethoscopes real bad.
Yeah.
And I said, let me see how I could work that. And then I get a call from Miss Debbie Thornton. She says, the ladies' Bible study would like to donate $100.
Wow.
And then I said, oh, my goodness, I can do it. I can do it. So I did it, and then I get another call. Oh, the men's Bible study are matching the ladies' Bible study.
Well, there you go.
So I just wanted to tell you that I didn't. I not only got the little, there's two different kinds of pulse ox. There's one that's just a spot check, and then there's one that's continuous.
Uh-huh.
So the continuous means like the nurse can be sitting at the station and she can glance over and she can see what the baby's pulse ox is versus having to get up and go look on the finger.
Right.
And so I was able to buy two of those that are medical grade. It was the kind we used in the Samaritan's Purse tents that have an infant and a pediatric monitor on it.
Yeah.
And because of the Bible study groups, I got to order infant stethoscope for a little teeny, teeny neonatal one, and then two pediatric ones. So I am so excited. They are going to be so thrilled to get this top-line equipment.
Yeah.
I was having so much fun doing
Amen,
it.
Amen. So you got five items coming?
More than, I think six.
Six items coming. That's
so
great.
So I'm so excited, and I just was... it just blessed my heart that our little church has such a big heart.
Amen, man.
And I'm just so grateful.
Free will offering.
For my church family.
Amen, girl. That's great. Thank you. All right. Anything else? Any other praises? We get them all? All right. Prayer requests. Anybody got a prayer request?
Well, we're going to lift up Ronnie. Pray for Ronnie. We always say now head to toe. Because he's got a lot of ailments, and he's working at it. He's going Amen. To the doctor, and we just praise the Lord to touch his body.
Amen.
Pray the Lord to touch his body. And our shut-ins, Ms. Sakura, I think she's going to have a test done, an MRI, Ms. Sakura. Is that right? Yeah. So we pray for her, lift her up. And Ms. Barbara Matneau is rotator cuff of shoulders bothering her, and she's having... kind of wicked dreams, you might say, right? Little dreams that are bothering her. We pray that the old devil leaves her alone.
Amen.
And my mother, for sure, she's doing better. Yeah, and Kevin, we looked up my son Kevin, right? And all the ones that are that are addicts or drug problems, we lift them up to you, and all the unspoken with prayers.
Right.
You know.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. That's all I got. Vince got one back there.
What you got, Vince?
Be in prayer for a Houston fireman that fell through a roof. And they were trying to ventilate the roof. And he's got some burns on his back and legs and everything. But one of his hands was burnt so bad they're probably going to have to amputate it.
Oh,
so,
my.
26 years old, and he's already going to be disabled. So
yes.
Y'all just, I don't know his name. Just remember that Houston firefighter.
Houston fireman, yes, sir. Fell through roof. All right, all right. What else? Anything else? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Best pop ever. That's a grandparent shirt. Is that what that is? Oh, for it's his Father's Day shirt. Okay. All right. All right, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we praise you for this day. As we've already prayed, Lord, we thank you for the beauty of it again and just the beautiful day it was, God. We thank you for it. Thank you for the blessing of letting us live in it and be here tonight and gather around the altar to intercede on behalf of others and to lift up these praises. We praise you for our salvation, Lord. We're thankful that you saved us and you called us out of darkness and out of sin and called us from ourselves to a greater plan, a greater purpose, a personal relationship with you. So we praise you and we thank you for that. Thank you for the eternity of this, the security of the believer, eternal security. We praise you and thank you for that tonight. Lord, we just thank you for keeping us for all eternity, for loving us, for keeping us, for helping us, for guiding us, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. So we lift up these praises to you tonight. We're thankful that Ron's son-in-law, John, has got him some full-time employment. We're thankful for this job, Lord, and we just pray that he makes a career and just gets after it and keeps on going. We're thankful for that. Thank you for that answer to prayer. We're thankful for the trip, Lord, Trevor's wedding, and the time away on the cruise, and just catching up with Stephanie and spending time with my wife. Thank you for that trip, and thank you for bringing us home safe and just keeping us safe the whole trip. We praise you and thank you for that. We're thankful for the rain. Lord, certainly we got to be caught up and ahead of schedule now, so we're thankful that we can be a little ahead on the rain, and Lord, we pray as we dry out that we wouldn't get too dry, but Lord, we're thankful that you blessed us with all the rain. Thank you for that. We lift up Alita and her praise and this good medical report, this good blood test. This A1C has gone even lower. Praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray you help Miss Alita keep that diabetes number low and keep it in check and be with her, guide her as she seeks to be a good steward of her temple there. So, Lord, we praise you for that. And then, Lord, we're thankful for the free will offering this morning for the medical equipment to go to Uganda. Thankful that your people responded, Lord, with a generous heart and a good gift. And Father God, we just pray that you would anoint these medical devices and equipment, that they would be used to bring glory and honor to your name as they treat these little babies and these new human beings, Lord. And we pray that it'd be an opportunity and an avenue to sow seeds of the gospel, this ministry, this hospital in Uganda, as they treat the physical and treat the needs of those folks in that area, that, Lord, they'd be able to pivot from that and express concern spiritually and sow seeds of salvation in the people's hearts. So, Lord, we're thankful that we're able to, as a congregation, able as a church member, Terry, to go, and as a congregation to help support that. We just praise you and thank you for that tonight. Lord, as we lift up these prayer requests, we pray for Ronnie Vaculik. We continue to pray for his health, as mentioned, from head to toe. We pray you touch his body, bring healing, bring comfort, bring rest, bring peace. We just lift up Brother Ronnie to you tonight. We continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, and we pray for his cancer and pray that you might remove that from him. Give him a complete healing from his cancer, Lord. Deliver him from that. And Father God, we pray you just help him get past that. And then, Lord, lift up Miss Sakura to you tonight in this medical test that she's about to undergo with this MRI. We pray that you just give her peace that passes all understanding. And, Lord, we pray that this test doesn't reveal anything serious and that, Lord, you might put her back on a path to healing. We lift up our shut-ins to you, Lord, and we pray for them. Thank you for them, and thank you for what they mean to our church, and we're thankful that they can be with us on the live stream. And Lord, we're just thankful for everyone that wants to be a part of the services and be a part of what God's doing here. We lift up Miss Barbara McNew and this issue she's got with her shoulder and her rotator cuff, and then these thoughts and dreams that she's having. We pray that you'd remove those, give her thoughts of peace and thoughts of your word and thoughts of her salvation, Lord. We just pray you protect her mind as she thinks about some of these difficult things and troubling thoughts that she's been having. We lift up James's mother to you, Jeanette, and we pray that you continue to keep her safe, help her with her balance, help her as she continues to live on her own there up by the lake. Just watch over her. We lift up Kevin to you, James and Kathy's son. We pray for his struggles with addiction, and Lord, we pray you might deliver him. See him through, Lord. Give him the strength. Give him the sponsor that he needs. Give him that recovery group, Lord. We just pray you help him figure it out and just lead, guide, and direct him. And, Lord, get him free of that once and for all. We lift up these unspokens to you tonight. And, Lord, we're thankful that we can voice these things to you silently. We know that you hear us. And, Lord, we know that when we don't know how to pray, that you make intercession on our behalf, so we praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, may we continue to have faith. May we continue to lay these things down at your feet and rejoice in the fact that you're sovereign and in control. And Lord, we may not see the answer in our lifetime, but we know that you are working behind the scenes, and our prayers are heard. So we praise you and thank you for that. And finally, Lord, we lift up this Houston fireman. We don't specifically know his name, but Lord, you know who he is. He's fallen through a roof trying to vent it, suffered severe burns to his body, and probably going to lose his hand. So, Lord, we pray for him, pray for his family. We pray that you might spare that hand. Lord, you might heal that body from the burns. Just give him a miracle, Lord, however that may work. And we just pray that he not have to be disabled, Lord, that he'd get to keep that hand. So, Lord, we lift him up to you. You know his name. We pray you touch him, help him, and just see him through. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord, as we get into it. And we just rejoice in the fact that we can be in it tonight. And, Lord, we pray you help us glean some truth that we can apply to our hearts and bring glory and honor to your name. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. All right, take your Bibles. We're going to end our guilt offering in Hebrews. So I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Of course, we've been going through a series of messages in the book of Leviticus. But this passage certainly relates to Hebrews, or certainly relates to Leviticus, found in Hebrews. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. And we'll be in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll begin reading here in verse 10. And we'll take it through verse 18. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 18. Amen. Have you found it? Amen. Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 18. The Word of God reads, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them,' after those days, says the Lord, 'I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them.' He then says, 'And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin." Amen? Amen. So that's the planned obsolescence that we have in the book of Leviticus. We have these offerings, but they are not to be completely eternal, because we have had the one great and final offering, Jesus Christ. What have we said so far? Well, last time, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about legal and moral debt, handling guilt biblically. What did we say? We said guilt is legal and or a moral debt, right? Both the Levitical offerings and Christianity claim to resolve guilt in our lives, but the enemies of the church are able to accuse us, the church folks, of generating huge amounts of guilt. And so we ask the question, what gives? We ask the question, are we innocent of the charge? And we said mostly so, but partly not. That's kind of vague, isn't it? Sounds like a politician. Mostly so, but partly not. The emotion of guilt, like anger and fear, can be distorted by sin, right? And so an overactive conscience is one of the liabilities of spiritual warfare, especially as we draw nearer and nearer to God. And neither do Christianity's detractors understand that a deadened conscience is also damaging to the person. There's an out of balance, basically, we can be when it comes to guilt. We can live in shame, and we can live in sin, right? And so we want to not live in sin, but yet we don't want to live in shame either, right? We want to take our guilt as it comes, and we want to deal with it properly with a good functioning conscience, a good functioning conscience. Does that make sense? So how do we handle guilt biblically? Well, for true guilt, whether against the Lord or against man, whether known or unknown, the Levitical combination of restitution and the guilt offering absolved the offender of all legal and moral debt. When we fast forward, for the Christian, restitution in the death of Jesus Christ, hence we read the passage in Hebrews, restitution and the death of Jesus Christ, our guilt offering, per Isaiah 53:10, also absolves us of legal and moral debt. Now, this statement is important because one of the reasons we carry our guilt is that we refuse to recognize that the debt has been paid, right? What did he say on the cross? He didn't say this is a down payment. He didn't say, I'm going to have to do this again with interest. He said, it is finished, right? Done. Amen? Now, as we talked a couple weeks ago, I ended it saying this. I said, there are sins that I have committed years ago, that I've confessed, that I've repented of, that I have attempted to move on from. Remember what I shared with you? I said, however, sometimes my mind goes back. My mind goes back to what I did, and I'm reminded of the guilt and shame. And remember what I said a couple weeks ago? I said, that's not on God. That's not God's fault. But rather, that's on me. Amen? That's on me. That's my fault. Jesus has paid for that sin. The penalty of that sin. And my job as a believer, my job as a Christian, my job as somebody that's experienced grace, my job is to accept that grace. Yes, accept it. Make restitution where needed. Yes. And then move on. Move on. So when thinking, when remembering, when or pondering past transgressions, I want you to understand how pointless condemning yourself is each time you recall the situation. It's pointless. It's pointless. We sinned, incurred guilt, we confessed and repented, and Jesus, our guilt offering, has paid our debt to God. Therefore, we can let the past be the past. Amen? And we can move on, should move on, are encouraged to move on with a clear conscience. Yes, yes? Encourage each other to do so, because that's what must be done. Amen? So, as we begin this evening, what are some concrete ideas, some concrete, solid ideas for handling guilt? Well, we're ending this guilt offering tonight, and we're basically ending it where we began. And so what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about our conscience. As I introduced this to you several weeks ago, our conscience must be correctly trained. Your conscience has to be honed, man. It's got to be trained. Our conscience must alert us when we have failed to do as we ought. And when our conscience does alert us, that's a good conscience. When it alerts us when we failed to do what we ought, right? This can only happen having a trained conscience, a correctly. This can only happen by receiving daily and receiving weekly and receiving monthly. And I mean day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year by receiving doses and doses of God's Word. That's the only way that conscience gets trained up. Are you with me? That requires faithful teaching of the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy tonight. 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Have you found it? 1 Timothy 1:3? You got there? Everybody there that wants to be there? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says, I'll read it through verse 6. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, right? Remain on at Ephesus so that you may what? So that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Notice what it says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. Notice what it says. And a good conscience and a sincere faith. Amen. Does that speak to your heart tonight? About having a good conscience? About how the Word of God relates to us having a well-trained conscience? Now, let's go back to Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Let's get back to Hebrews. Love the book of Hebrews, right? Why do you like the book of Hebrews so much? Because it reminds me of coffee. Hebrews. That joke never gets old. Amen? There will be coffee in heaven. I'm certain of it. All right? Be the best Colombian coffee you've ever put in your mouth. All right. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Are you with me? Yes, are you there? All right, those of you with us online, Hebrews 5, 11. Put that remote down. Get your Bible. Hebrews 5, 11. All right. Word of God reads, concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses, you see that? Conscience, senses, have their senses trained to discern what? Good and evil, man. You got to have a conscience that is correctly trained. The only way it will be correctly trained is by the Word of God. And I mean the deep things of the Word of God. Amen? Not just the fluff, but all of it. Yes? Yes, yes? All right. What are some concrete ideas for handling guilt? Our conscience must be correctly trained. Secondly, not all of our sin, you got to get this, not all of our sin will be known to us. Not all of our sin will be known to us. This is really an extension here of the first point, but it also covers those times when we just feel unworthy. We just feel unworthy. A couple things about the sin nature. The sin nature is deep. The sin nature is festering. The sin nature is that in us that is dying and wants to hang on. It so wants to hang on when we're saved, when the Holy Spirit's on the scene. It so wants to hang on, but it can't, right? So it seeks to do everything to trip us, to trick us. Not all of our sin will be known to us. Now that we know the Lord instituted an offering for this in the Old Testament, right? An offering for this, we may have confidence that this is normal, and you can also have confidence that your unknown sin to you is covered by the cross. We don't have a sin offering today because we've experienced the one true great offering, right? Covered by the cross. Not all our sin will be known to us. We're talking about concrete ideas for handling guilt. Number three, confession is better than denial, right? I tell you what, this mayor in Austin, I don't know what his party is. I don't know what his platform is. But if I could vote for him, I would vote for him. Why would you do that, preacher? He got on national TV and apologized for having a poor response to all the power outages and everything, and saying we done did it again. We dropped it as a city. I am so, maybe you're not, but I have had it up to here of politicians doubling down when they're in the wrong and they just need to come clean, right? But what do? They double down and deny. They double down and pretend like he did. They double down. Confession is better than denial. And even in politics, it's a breath of fresh air, right? And these politicians think, well, we're just going to get thrown out on our, we're going to get thrown out on our ear if we confess that we've done something wrong. That depends on what you did, right? But come on, man. Nobody's perfect. Confession is better than denial. Take your Bibles and turn to a very familiar passage. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Oh, you'll know this one. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9. Confession is better than denial. 1 John 1, 9 validates the role confession has in the life of the believer. What does 1 John 1, 9 say? It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, this verse, it contains the promise of cleansing, doesn't it? Amen? Yes? And by faith, we know that our known failings will eventually be behind us. What I want you to see here also are unknown failings brought to light and cleansed. Our unknown failings brought to light and cleansed. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, does it say, from some unrighteousness? From all unrighteousness. That's known and unknown unrighteousness. Yes? Do you see that? So, you may be scratching your head wondering tonight, preacher, are you telling me I should confess unknown sinfulness? Is that what you're trying to go with here? I don't know. You know, studying this Old Testament stuff and thinking about how it leads into the New Testament, I would say if you want to confess unknown sin, go for it. I don't think there's anything that says you can't. If you want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know all the things I've done wrong, but You do. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And Lord, as You reveal them to me, I'll repent from them. Amen? Yeah. So I would say confessing unknown sinfulness is appropriate if you feel so led to do it. Amen? Does it make sense to you? Yes? So confession is better than denial. We can all agree on that. Yeah? Amen? Not all of our sin will be known to us. Praise the Lord, Christ pays for all of it. Yes? Our conscience must be correctly trained. And let's move on a little bit further down into this. When restitution is possible, make it. When restitution is possible, make it. When restitution is offered to you, accept it. Right? When you can make it, make it. When it's offered, take it. Yes? Restitution is what uniquely distinguishes the guilt offering from the sin offering in the book of Leviticus and the offerings that we've covered so far. Restitution brings healing. Restitution cancels the legal and moral debt on the horizontal between men, right? Between one another. Consider the Israelite who appears before the priest with the property of his neighbor, plus 20%, plus its, or 20% of its value in grain, plus the ram, right? When all has been offered, what else is there to do, right? I mean, your neighbor sinned against you. He's brought your property back, plus 20%, plus he's bringing a ram to offer for a sacrifice. The moral and legal debt is paid. What more can he do? Nothing. Restitution. Continuing to carry it around as baggage is not faith and may violate the holiness of the guilt offering and the atonement of the priest. So when what? When you can make restitution, make it. When restitution is offered to you, take it. Amen? And as we think about this last concrete thing in dealing with guilt, you know, the Lord has an incredible way of taking our failings, turning them into lessons, right? He has an amazing way of doing that. So the last concrete thing is this. Learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. Leave the bad behind. Learn what you've learned and move on. Learn the lesson. Now, I suspect that is where most of us, we tend to drop the ball. But we got to quit doing that. We got to learn that lesson. For the believer, our guilt offering is Jesus Christ, we've mentioned. For the believer, restitution is our responsibility, as we've mentioned. And confession and cleansing are offered to us. And even if it is a recurring sin, we still need to do what? We still need to confess it. We still need to seek to repent of it. And we still need to leave the guilt behind us. You know, you preacher, it's a recurring sin. Well, we still need to confess it. And we still need to repent of it. And we still need to leave the guilt behind us. But it's a recurring sin. Amen. You just got to keep working, working, and working. And you'll get past the what? The recurring sin. And one day you'll wake up and that will be a past sin. But it won't happen if you don't go through the steps. Confession, repentance, and leaving the guilt and the shame behind. You'll find out months, years into it, that the grace and forgiveness is a whole lot better than the guilt and shame. And you'll finally mature and grow in your discipleship that you'll get past. You'll get past. And instead of a recurring sin, it'll be a past sin that you've left behind. Amen? So as we close it out tonight, what can we say about Christ? We've already said it. Christ, our guilt offering. Praise God for Him. Amen? We are guilty of violating the Lord's holy things. We are guilty of unknown sins, and we have wronged our neighbors. But the good news comes from the prophet Isaiah, who wrote this in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 through 11. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. The Messiah was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah to be our guilt offering. The word justify means to declare not guilty. Amen? The moral and legal debt is canceled, but there's more. As we begin, that's where we'll end tonight. The author of Hebrews wrote, as we've already read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 18, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Jesus Christ, our sin offering, is the eternal solution to our guilt. He offered himself for your guilt, but again, it comes back to us. We must acknowledge our guilt and accept this guilt offering he's made for us. Amen? Once we do that, rejoicing is in store. We can rejoice in the knowledge that you and I will be made holy one day. Glorified body. Amen? Yes, yes? Well, folks, that ends it. That is the guilt offering. We'll pick up the next one on Wednesday night. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you that we can get a good lick tonight on this final installment on the guilt offering. We thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for how your word connects from Old to New Testament. And Lord, we're thankful that Jesus is our guilt offering this evening. Takes care of our guilt for known and unknown sin, all unrighteousness. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, where we struggle to accept your grace and forgiveness, we pray you help us. But Lord, we want to have a trained conscience. We don't want to be untrained. We want to have a trained conscience. And we want it to be sensitive, not overly sensitive, but sensitive to when we do wrong so that we can confess and repent and get on down the road with it. So Lord, help us find the balance, the good, healthy, spiritual balance. Help us avoid the extremes of living in shame and the extremes of having a dead, dull, numb conscience. Lord, help us train it appropriately by the Word of God for your glory and for the salvation of others. As we go through this world and as we go through this life, this discipleship, as we go through it, living our salvation and sanctification in front of others. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of salvation. And thank you for how you lead, guide, and direct us by your word. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. Amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. We'll see you next time online, folks.